Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What you just described was Trump trying to turn the United States into a pre-constitutional era where he can act as a monarch that gives and gets gifts from other countries and companies. And FIFA just cashed in on that. They realized that they can placate Trump, placate his personality. And it's not a good look for the United States. It's honestly humiliating that other countries are treating our president like a child, like a baby. This is like if I created the Mockler Peace Prize and I gave it to Adam Mockler right away. I'm like, I'm just going to keep this medal on all night. I really like this. Our president is an actual child, and other countries are treating him like a child while giving him gifts to placate him for policy. This should scare everybody who cares about the Constitution.
Hey, everybody. Adam Mockler here. I was back on CNN with Donald Trump's friend Kevin O'Leary, and the debate got heated as usual. People say that my hair looks better when it's combed. Is that true? Should I keep combing it? Let me know. But drop a like, subscribe, watch until the end. It's a good debate. Peace out.
Terrorist organization that had the boat, that had the drugs on it, that was hit.
One of the admins,
a designated terrorist group.
One of the administration's primary arguments was that these boats were an imminent threat to the United States.
They are. They're killing 5,000 Americans a month.
They're not headed to the United States.
The drugs are killing 5,000 Americans a month.
Also, I want to pose this question. So the Coast Guard said earlier that 212 ships were intercepted with no deaths. That means we do have the ability to do this. 25% of those ships had no drugs. Are you okay with striking boats with no drugs?
Listen, the Coast Guard is patrolling off the coast of the United States.
Are you okay with a 25% chance?
That's not a 25% chance off the coast of Venezuela.
They
know for certain that these drugs are on these ships.
We have intercepted over 200 boats with no violence whatsoever. We have the ability to do this. We are committing violence because of
losing 60,000 Americans a year.
And that's awful. And that's awful.
Of course. We're not intercepting these boats enough, obviously.
But they're not even coming to our country.
Says who?
The admiral.
No, yes. He said it was going to a boat off the coast that they never found. But they're not saying that on all these ships out
there.
So can
we justify striking a boat that's going to any country because eventually they may become it may become a secondary country where drugs go in the United States? What's the barrier here? How do you justify this?
The justification is that they're a terrorist organization and they've been designated as such. And we can take them out just like Obama did with hundreds of strikes all around the world.
Just because Obama did it doesn't make it right either.
Well, but the Democrats back then didn't see.
But also, there was an authorized use of military force for Obama. He actually had one. You can argue whether or not it was right or moral or legal when it comes to the American citizen, but he had authorization to operate in that area.
No one here is defending drugs coming into the country,
right.
But can I ask the conservatives on this panel, if I were to tell you that this puts U.S. troops at risk because we're lowering the rules, we're lowering the bar of engagement for other countries, and they can therefore use our strikes as a pretext to kill U.S. troops, would you say that maybe
our
we should
troops are sending drugs somewhere? I don't think that's happening. But the American people support
I don't think they're going to use that standard.
They don't have to prove that.
I don't think they're going to use that standard.
I want to just point out what you were talking about, though, and saying I think there's this conflation of argument that folks do when they don't actually really want to have to defend the actions that this administration is doing. And it is saying that people who question the actions of doing one strike and then potentially doing a second strike for people who might have been surrendering or pleading for help, that because we have the courage to ask the question, we want Americans to die from drugs. No. If you live in America, you've probably known someone that has had an overdose or a family member that has had an overdose or a family member that is incarcerated because of drugs. So to conflate those arguments is intellectually lazy, and I think we need to do a better job in this conversation.
Tonight, a twist in the cracked cold case. Sources tell CNN that the man suspected of planting pipe bombs the day before the January 6th riots told investigators that he believed the 2020 election was stolen. D.C. U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro was asked about that today.
he was disappointed in various aspects of the election, but this guy was an equal opportunity bomber. He put a bomb outside the Republican National Committee and the Democrat National Committee. He was disappointed to a great deal in the system, both sides of the system. And for me as a prosecutor, my job is to prove what his intent was in placing those pipe bombs and what he intended to do and what we can prove. And we can prove that.
I don't think the motivation makes any sense. It's clearly a distraught, the poor guy, he's got to be mentally ill. He's blowing pipe bombs. Remember the Boston bomber? It was horrific what happened there. It's a form of mental illness to do this to people. But you want the FBI to win. Even if you don't like them, you want them to win. And in this case, I think they're winning.
You said this was essentially a tragedy of a mental illness, and I absolutely agree. But my problem is that a lot of very impressionable Americans who were distraught around this time were taken advantage of by a president who was using incendiary rhetoric. Before the election even happened, he said it was going to be stolen. He took the stage on election night before the votes were counted and said, the election is stolen from me. Mike Pence took the stage after and kind of walked it back. He then tried to place fake slates of electors, tried January 6th. The president's rhetoric directly led to impressionable Americans thinking the election was stolen and committing heinous acts like tasing cops in the neck.
He wants to blow up both sides.
Can I put a different theory potentially on this? This guy's clearly warped in his head. Mm-hmm. He gets arrested. He realizes, well, the Trump DOJ is in charge. President Trump is the president of the United States. Maybe if I tell them it was because I thought the election was stolen, they'll take it easy on me. Oh. In his warped mind.
You sound like
no, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, he put bombs on both sides.
But are you saying
so
that?
So now all of a sudden he's a truth guy what he says?
No, maybe he put a bomb at the DNC because he believed the Democrats stole the election because Republicans and conspiracy theorists pushed that. And he put the bomb at the RNC because the vice president, who was about to be sworn in, was going to ride by that area.
There is a massive cover-up because the person who planted those pipe bombs, they don't want you to know who it was, because it's either a connected anti-Trump insider or this was an inside job. This was a setup. I have zero doubt.
Folks, you're not going to walk into our capital city, put down two explosive devices, and walk off in the sunset. Not going to happen. We were going to track this person to the end of the earth. There was no way he was getting away.
There's not really been any factual information laid out about this case just yet. And when we do, I don't know, some people still might not believe it.
Yeah, there's this treadmill of conspiracy theories that people run on where there's always, it's like whack-a-mole. There's always a new conspiracy theory to pop down. But I think Dan Bongino's rhetoric, his conspiracy rhetoric, proves my point so perfectly about this MAGA ecosystem. So Trump told incendiary lies about an election that were proven wrong in 60 different courts. And then Dan Bongino has to run down the treadmill and find a different theory that actually this was like an inside job with Democrats doing this. I don't know. So there's always some excuse. And what do you think impressionable Americans who may have mental illness or may be distraught or have economic trouble, how do you think they respond to being gaslit by people in power, like the president, like Dan Bongino? These are lies
but
being told to the American
happy
people.
The man has been at least
yes,
found.
Of course.
Adam, you're a young person. I think a lot of people of your generation probably don't even think there's going to be a Social Security around when it's time to retire. When you hear things like this and you see what other countries are doing and for forcing the issue, because in Australia it's mandatory, every person gets this account created. Do you think it's a good idea?
It's not the worst idea I've heard. It kind of reminded me of the $1,000 baby accounts, where it's like, this is actually something that it's feasible, it's good. But I just think right now we have more pressing issues than reorganizing the entire way Social Security and the economy works. Young people across the United States are having trouble accumulating capital, especially young people. We're having trouble accumulating capital in the form of housing or in the form of investing. And due to that, actually most of the times we're negative in capital due to student debt or medical debt. Due to that, you see a lot of younger people like Gen Zers or millennials turning against the system. Like, we're not loyal to a system that hasn't been loyal to Gen Zers thus far. So when a lot of conservatives talk about Zohran Mamdani or young people being super disenfranchised and disillusioned, being socialist, it's actually really explainable by just looking at the way the system has worked for young people, or that hasn't worked for young people.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Cyber Monday, 208 million people bought online because the algorithms on all the platforms were the best ever. $1 extra billion of revenue. I know that because my companies were part of that success.
Revenue does not mean
$1 billion more.
Money saved, though.
And also, you can cherry pick one economic stat, but the fact is, inflation has gone up since Trump took office. Unemployment has gone up since Trump took office. A lot of the macroeconomic indicators that people rely on aren't doing too well. So yeah, you can cherry pick small things like this has gone down, but when you walk to the grocery store,
okay,
beef is
cherry pick this. We're 40 points off an all-time high in history on the S&P 500.
We do this.
The number one economy on earth. Are you kidding?
It's growing at a slower rate than it did under Biden.
We're
though.
Number one on earth, and we're
But who's benefiting in that number one? I think
you
it's
are. Everybody that's retired right. is anybody
Trump
that has any savings
the market like
anywhere.
Four times.
All right.
I mean, how can you bash number one in the world?
President Trump, he's now accepting a peace award that he has been calling for, but it's not a Nobel. It's FIFA.
Mr. President, this is your prize. This is your peace prize. There is also a beautiful medal for you that you can wear everywhere you want to go.
I'm going to wear it right now.
Okay, let me hold. Fantastic. Excellent.
Yes, that really happened. The irony of putting a medal on himself for an award that was created just for him is not lost here, but Trump was honored nonetheless.
Thank you very much. This is truly one of the great honors of my life. And beyond awards, John and I were discussing this. We saved millions and millions of lives. The Congo is an example. Over 10 million people killed, and it was heading for another 10 million very quickly. And it just, you know, the fact that we could do that, India, Pakistan, so many different wars that we're able to end.
The award is the latest in what the Bulwark calls his participation trophies, a 24-karat gold plaque from Apple, a different peace award from the Nixon Foundation, a gold crown from South Korea during the No Kings protest, a Rolex clock that's worth more than 100 grand from Switzerland, and gold, silver, and bronze medals from the Olympic Committee, to which Trump joked, "Can I say I won them athletically?" Well, I don't know that he can say he actually won a peace prize, but it seems like the world is willing to humor him on this, and that he's so committed to these accolades that it's almost like it's the price of entry in Trump's world. At this
what
point.
You just described was Trump trying to turn the United States into a pre-constitutional era where he can act as a monarch that gives and gets gifts from other countries and companies. And FIFA just cashed in on that. They realized that they can placate Trump, placate his personality. And it's not a good look for the United States. It's honestly humiliating that other countries are treating our president like a child, like a baby. It's like if I created the Mockler Peace Prize and I gave it to Adam Mockler right away. I'm like, I'm just going to keep this medal on all night. I really like this. Our president is an actual child, and other countries are treating him like a child while giving him gifts to placate him for policy. This should scare everybody who cares about the Constitution.
What are we doing?
Why?
You know, I mean, Trump is great at trolling the left. I mean, this is, that's what the name on the building is all about, too. I mean, it's just, you know, he shut down that sinkhole of money that was helping no one, actually. And we save $50 million a year. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to put my name
on
that building
to remind
people. Why do you
think it's trolling? I mean,
because it drives the left crazy.
But if you argue that everything is trolling and then suddenly we have Donald J. Trump's name on everything in this country like we do in,
it's
you know,
not on everything.
I mean,
it's on this one building.
To quote Eric Erickson, in third world kleptocracies, then suddenly it's not just trolling anymore. Suddenly it's a real thing.
My favorite example of Donald Trump trolling the Democrats is probably when he called for the execution of Democrats a few weeks back, or when he called
please.
Us traitors, or when he said we're not to be taken care
of. Democrats.
He absolutely called for Alyssa Slotkin to be hanged. But I want to ask Kevin a question.
Sure.
You essentially tried to be, you get the most charitable possible interpretation of what's happening here, that this is a business deal.
It is.
Do you not see the slippery slope when the president is able to give and receive gifts in a very transactional way? Like, what if there is a Democratic president who's in power next, and he's not as favorable to a company that you care about.
No,
and
wait
then
a second. Every president in the United States is gifted everything. There's all
that
these gifts
that Abby
for
just
generations.
Read? There's no way.
Because he's wearing a medal around his neck, he brought in $100 million dollars of merchandise into the U.S.
To
economy.
To Kevin's point.
This is what I say. Thank you.
Presidents do get gifts, but they're supposed to give it to the State Department. If they want
to
keep it.
How do you know
it,
he's not going to give the Rolex clock to the State Department?
I didn't say
you
any of that.
You know he's going to hang that medal in
Kevin,
the
I can't wait
Kevin,
to visit
I didn't
the
say
clock.
Any of that. I'm just letting you know.
I want to see the medal. Yeah.
So we will find out. Usually there's a report. We'll find out later whether or not they kept it, and
about
if you keep it, you have to pay for it.
Remember that one?
The 747.
I love that.
So I think that will be a really important question. Who gets that plane? Because he says it's
you know
not
what?
Going to be Air
Abby,
Force
I'm
One.
Getting the plane.
And
I'm going to buy
his
it.
His presidential we'll library see. Gets it, right?
Listen, if well, he's not using
we'll
it, I'll
I mean,
buy
I think
it.
He, I think that
but
they may
a good
be trying
example
to make it
that
Air
is
Force
pure
One.
Corruption. That's
and
not a
I
good
want
thing.
The American people to get the proceeds of my purchase.
Tonight's nightcap, who would your dream performance at your White House be?
I said Sabrina Carpenter because she ratioed the hell out of Trump, and I thought this was Trump's White House, but I'll also have her perform at my White House. That's fine, too. That's fine, too.
If you want more debate content, make sure you like the video below, drop a comment, and subscribe. Peace out.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.